WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Chicagoans are struggling to make ends meet, many having trouble even covering the costs of food. According to a new report from the Greater Chicago Food Depository, 1 in 3 families in the city can't cover the basic costs of living. 1 in 5 households with children are food insecure. We sat down with Jim Conwell of the Depository to talk about what the organization found and what needs to change. I started by asking if the data about food insecurity coming out of Chicago matches the national numbers.
That's right. Just earlier this month, the United States Department of Agriculture issued their annual report on food security in the United States, and that was looking back a year at 2023, and that report found that food insecurity rose between 2022 and 2023. Our report that we just issued with the Northern Illinois Food Bank and Food Bank of Northwest Indiana shows that food insecurity is still elevated in 2024. From the more recent data sources that we're looking at, more and more households are struggling to make ends meet.
So do the numbers worry you when you take a look at them, or do they surprise you?
Sad to say, they do not surprise us, because the numbers reflect what we see and what our partners at food pantries and soup kitchens and shelters see every day across Chicago and across the greater Chicagoland region. More and more households are struggling to make ends meet. So the cost of living is higher and the safety net is frankly too small.
So what does that look like at the Greater Chicago Food Depository? You're seeing more folks show up?
That's right. We've seen food pantry visits increase year over year. In our report, we note that across the area, food pantry visits have increased by 57% over the last 4 years.
Wow.
In our network in Cook County, just in the last year, it's gone up about 24%.
Yeah, to add to that, the amount of visits to food pantries and free grocery programs, they've increased over 50% in just the last 4 years. So when you see this, Jim, I mean, what can you say attributes to this kind of increase?
It's a higher cost of living. All of us have felt the impact of inflation in recent years. And while statistically inflation has eased, the price of food and a lot of basic goods hasn't gone down much, if any. And according to United for Alice data, which United Way of Metro Chicago does a great job getting out there, an estimated 35% of households in the area cannot afford the basic cost of living in their county.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Alice, for folks listening, it stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employee. That's United for Alice. Now, in addition to that statistic, it also reported, Jim, around 400,000 of those families that, as you said, can't afford the basic cost of living, they have incomes that disqualify them from federal nutrition assistance. How often do you hear these kinds of stories?
We hear these stories every week. You know, my team goes out to food pantries across our network in Chicago and Cook County to talk to people to get stories. And it's such a common thing. A neighbor of ours that we reference in the report, her name is Wendy, and she visits Common Pantry on the north side of Chicago. And Wendy was forced into early retirement from an injury. She gets about $250 in SNAP benefits per month for a household of 5 people. And so she needs to supplement that with visits to the food pantry. But there's also working families who earn too much to qualify for SNAP, but not enough to meet their basic needs. So there can be a gap of a few thousand dollars in there for a working family where they have income. It's too much to qualify for federal benefit programs, but not enough to afford groceries maybe in that fourth week of the month.
Wow. Let's hear some more of those stories, because I gather you're hearing a lot directly from the families that you serve just about trying to make ends meet right now.
Absolutely. A few weeks ago, my team went just to get out of the office and volunteered at one of our partners, Our Lady of Angels. They are in the West Humboldt Park community. And I would say they served more than 400 people that day. Line was wrapped around the block. Distribution went an hour longer than it was scheduled to go because there were that many people turning up. And speaking to Sister Stephanie, one of the people who runs that weekly distribution, I said, is this how it's been every week? She said, oh, this is a light week right now. Like we've seen more and more and more people. And that's the story at programs across our network and across the networks of the food banks in Northwest Indiana and throughout Northern Illinois.
Well, so talk to us more then, given, you know, some of the stories you just shared, how that impacts you guys, right? How are you adapting to that growing need? What are the biggest challenges for you?
Biggest challenges for us, keeping up. Last year, in our last fiscal year, we distributed the equivalent of 101 million meals, which was the most food the Greater Chicago Food Depository has ever distributed in our 45-year history in a single year. That means we're spending more money on food and all the resources we need to get it out to the community. We're fortunate to have the support of tens of thousands of donors and volunteers and advocates to make this work, but it feels like we're always trying to do more and more and more every year, and so are all the pantries across our network and across our neighboring networks.
Yeah. Well, as you pointed out, I mean, these people, a lot of them are really between a rock and a hard place, right? The example you gave us where someone doesn't make enough to live, you know, with any kind of security. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. Somehow they make too much sometimes to qualify for something like SNAP. So what do you want to see then, Jim, in terms of policy change? What can the city or state do?
There's a lot of action that can be taken at every level of government, but during Hunger Action Month, which is September, our big focus has been at the federal level because the Farm Bill is set to expire at the end of September. And for listeners who might not be up to date on their USDA policy, the Farm Bill is more than an agriculture bill. It's a food bill. It's the single most important piece of anti-hunger legislation the United States of America has. And if it expires at the end of September, SNAP continues as it was. But we see that there's a really important opportunity right now. Is need is at an all-time high for Congress to take action and make SNAP stronger, make it more accessible. And there's proposals on the table to do that so it can better keep pace with the cost of living, so it can expand to groups like college students or work better for seniors. But unfortunately, there's proposals coming out of the House Ag Committee that would cut SNAP and cut the Thrifty Food Plan over the next 10 years.
Well, how does that make you feel seeing proposals like that?
It's disheartening. It's really disheartening. You know, for years and years and years, SNAP has been something that everyone has been able to get behind. But really, you know, we've seen an increase over the last 15 years of pushbacks against the cost of SNAP, but that's the cost of protecting Americans from hunger.
Given all that, Jim, what is keeping you hopeful in these times?
There's a few things. Our partners, like those that I mentioned, places like Common Pantry, Our Lady of Angels, amazing groups we work with like Aman on the South Side, New Life Centers of Chicagoland, Beyond Hunger. There's these amazing organizations we have the privilege of partnering with every day, every week across Chicago and Cook County. And I know our counterparts at Northern Illinois Food Bank and Food Bank of Northwest Indiana say the same thing. We're building a movement to end hunger, and it's a movement that's grown significantly over the last 45 years. Mm-hmm. But we need to keep up the momentum as we head into the winter, the holiday season, and then 2025. This need isn't going anywhere. We need to continue responding to it. We need supporters.
And it's not only around the holidays.
That's right.
Right?
It's a year-round issue. People think about it a lot around the holidays, but it's a 12-month-of-the-year issue and challenge in our community.
Jim Conwell is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you, Sasha.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yason, edited by Dan Tucker, and mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset brings context to breaking news. If you're interested in hearing more, well, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.